Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
But we kick off the hour with a former Baltimore Raven and current head coach at Lipscomb. Trent Dilfer joins us by phone. Trent, thank you so much for the time today. How are you?
Guys, how we doing?
You are a beloved Nashville resident, but that probably your Q rating dips this week as people remember who you used to be, I guess. What's it like this week as a Nashvillian now to be remembered as a Raven who crushed maybe the best Titans team's dreams?
I've had to be the ultimate politician this week. People constantly asking me who I'm rooting for, and it makes it even harder that I'm being honored before the game tomorrow night in Baltimore as the legend of the game. So, I don't know what to say. I don't have an answer. I'm obviously humbled that they're doing that for me in Baltimore. I'm excited to go back. I'm excited to see some of my teammates and Steve Bisciotti, the owner, and be part of the excitement that's in Baltimore right now around their incredible season. But I found myself this season living in Nashville, living and dying by every Titans game. So I will definitely be a torn man tomorrow night.
Trent, we have spent a lot of time reminiscing this week about the Titans-Ravens rivalry and what it meant in the late 90s, early 2000s, and continuing for years. But we've been getting that from the former Titans perspective. What was it like from the Ravens perspective against the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I think, one, there was a great deal of respect because we were built the same way. Coach Fisher had built a hard-nosed, physical, blue-collar team around a few marquee players and Steve McNair and Eddie and Mason and, you know, these guys that were just, they were premier players in the league, but they were also tough guys. And we kind of felt the same way about our team. You know, Ray Lewis and Rod Woodson and Shannon Sharp and guys that were marquee players in the league, but also tough guys. So there's a huge amount of respect and there is an equal amount of hate. We're both trying to chase the same thing, and we hated that there was somebody in our way. And then there is that big evil monster out west, the Raiders, who arguably were better than both of us during the regular season that year. And we knew eventually that whoever came out of our rivalry would have to face them as well. So it was a great time in the NFL. We definitely had a heightened sense of awareness the week of Titans games, and we're able to come out on top in two close ones at the end of the year. But we never felt like it was going to be easy.
Those were some seriously slanted teams to the defensive side. These are good defenses, particularly Baltimore's. But the apocalypse is upon us, and these are two offensive football teams. How revolutionary, I don't know if that's the right word, is what the Ravens are doing with Lamar Jackson?
It's pretty incredible. And I'll start by saying I don't think you can play great defense anymore. You can play really good defense. The league has just evolved in such a way that it's made it more of an offensive league. The rules have adjusted. Player safety's at a premium. So you no longer can play the style of defense that the Ravens and the Titans, and I put the Raiders in that category, played that season, or even in that era. So you have to look at defensive football kind of in perspective relative to what really good defense is right now. I think both of them have really good defenses considering what an offensive league it is. But what the Ravens are doing, everybody keeps saying it's a fad, and I keep rolling my eyes saying, no, the Wildcat was a fad. This is kind of a transformational offense. When you have a transformational talent at quarterback and you build an entire organization around his skill set and building an offense around him, this isn't going away. People aren't going to all of a sudden, I hear this term all the time, write the book on him. They're not going to write the book on Lamar Jackson or this offense because it's fundamentally sound. It attacks you at every element of what good offense attacks you from, and it attacks every element of your defense. It stretches you and puts you in conflict at every level, puts you in conflict at the line of scrimmage, the linebacker level, at the secondary level. I think it can be slowed down, and I think that's what Mike Vrabel and the staff will try to do is contain it. If you try to stop it, you will get gashed. If you try to contain it and force them to, you know, perform in critical downs, third and goal situations, third and medium situations, what I call must-pass situations in the middle of the field, then you have a chance to force some punts, force some field goals, and not let the explosive beat you. But if you come out there with a lot of bravado and think that you are all of a sudden going to come up with some game plan that's going to shut down this offense, they're going to put up 50 on you.
Trent Dilfer, our guest. Trent, what has been your impression of Ryan Tannehill over the last 11 weeks or so, and what has led to this level of play from him within this particular offense when you've watched him spin the football?
Well, I think you make an argument that he played top five quarterback in his stint as the quarterback of the Titans. From critical down, critical situation, end of game, all the metrics you look at that really define great quarterback play, I think that Ryan is in the top five. I personally am not surprised, and you know, I was the one that was ridiculed in Miami for being a Tannehill apologist. I really felt like he was a top 10 talent in the league. I felt like he was in the wrong system in Miami. So when he came here, and no disrespect to Marcus, but I really felt like it was one of the best best signings of the offseason. Because he has premier talents. He's got all the gifts you're looking for. And I think the biggest reason for success was he kind of has the right level of I don't give a you know what. And every great quarterback has to have that. They got to get through the anxiety of being a perfectionist, the pressure of trying to do it right all the time, being a people pleaser, trying to do it exactly the way their coaches draw it up. And what makes the greats great is they play within the structure of the offense, but they also have the ability to play beyond the X's and O's, and they allow themselves to do that. And I think that's what Ryan's done, is he's played within the structure of the offense when that is the job at hand, but when something has to happen where he has to use his giftedness to get them out of a jam, play beyond the X's and O's, he's been able to do that. And I think the system fits in perfectly, too. If you go back and study him, he's at his best in the play-action game. He's at his best in the movement game. He's at his best the downfield game. He's good at the other stuff, but he's at his best in those situations. And when you have the ability to give the ball to Derrick Henry and pierce the defense, the running game, it sets him up for success to do the things that he does best.
Trent Dilfer. We had mics last week, Trent, that were attached to our headset, and I just thought I was wearing one of those, and I wasn't, and the microphone was down on the table, and you should have seen the visual. It was quite impressive. Head coach of Lipscomb Academy, quarterback the Ravens to the most devastating loss in Tennessee Titans history, and tomorrow night admits he will be torn because he's got some affection for the Titans now as a Nashville.
Oh, you're not torn, Trent. You're the legend of the game for the Ravens.
He's not torn.
I mean it, and listen, I'm going to Baltimore, and I don't want Baltimore fans to think that I'm not rooting for them, but I think in my position I am now, you can have multiple favorite teams. I'm obviously, I root for the Niners because I grew up there, played there. I root for the Ravens every week, but I'm living in Nashville, and I've known Mike forever, and I really, really, really respect how he's built this team, and I think he's one of the great head coaches in the NFL, and I found myself, it's not like the old days when I was on ESPN where I'd have to watch all nine games in every block. I have two TVs in my office. The Titans are always on. The sound is always on in the Titans. I mean, they're the team that I have followed most closely this year. I really am emotionally attached to them. So it actually is going to be a very difficult. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm just not going to root. I'm just going to enjoy the experience and celebrate whichever team gets a chance to go play in the championship.
What office will you be running for, sir? Thanks a lot, Trent.
I have learned as a coach, you do need to be part politician as well.
We really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
We love your analysis. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Trent Dilfer has been our guest. He's been very gracious with his time over the last few months as the head coach at Lipscomb Academy.
You like my microphone trick there?
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was hilarious to watch.
That was just pitiful.
Paul just started talking.
Paul just talking into the ether. Yeah. With the going along with his down. Question with his microphone down at the, on the table.
You understand why I did it.
Yes, from yeah, last week.
From
it was
last
different.
Week with the headset, yeah, yes.
You reverted back to last week.
So what do you think,
if,
Phil?
If Kirby had made such
an
egregious
crucified
error.
Him.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been Kirby's fault that he didn't have a headset. Yeah.
Kirby, where's my headset?
Kirby, why are you not holding my microphone for me in front
where
of my
Where's my microphone stand?